Welcome to another Northwest Hero Football podcast, sponsored by Buffalo Wild Wings in Algonquin and Crystal Lake. I'm sports writer Joe Stevenson, along with sports writer Sean Hammond and sports editor Kyle Neighbors. Guys, the playoffs are here. We have nine teams among the 256 still playing around the state from our area. Johnsburg and Richmond Burton are in 4A. Marion Central and Woodstock North in 5A. Defending state champ Prairie Ridge, Cary Grove, and Crystal Lake in 6A. Jacobs in 7A and Huntley in 8A. Cary Grove is in for the 14th consecutive year. Richmond Burton is in for the 12th straight. So let's start with 8A, where Huntley is the number 7 seed and hosts number 26, Edwardsville, on Friday. What do you guys think of this draw and Huntley's chances to make a run? By the way, as a higher seed, Huntley lost to Palatine 3 years ago, and a couple years ago as a high seed lost in – that was in the first round, and a couple years ago lost to Oswego in the second round. So what do you think of – how do you like Huntley's draw, and what do you think of the Red Raiders' chances?
Well, they got an Edwardsville team that's on a six-game winning streak. Kind of interesting. They started out 0-3, and then they won the next six. They're sitting at 6-3. I think it's I think Huntley's maybe a little bit of a favorite here, especially being at home, because that's a long – this is what, like a four-hour drive for Edwardsville?
I think it's more like six, maybe even, or five or six, yeah.
A lengthy drive, for sure, and that is a Friday game. So, that maybe favors Huntley a little bit. But, two, I think, Huntley's a pretty good team, and I think no matter where they're playing, I think they might be favored in this game a little bit. But it's definitely a interesting matchup.
I'm actually really concerned for Huntley.
Yeah.
I think that this is a game that they could very well lose, and that's not a knock on Huntley. I just think this Edwardsville team is very good. They had a meltdown way back in week one that they should have beat Naperville North. They lost to Christian Brothers out of Missouri, which is an 8-1 program. That's one of the better programs in the country usually, small school. And then East St. Louis, East St. Louis is great. They lost those three games. But I started looking down, and the rest of their schedule isn't that strong until you get to Belleville West, which is a really, really good program. I really like that team. And they clock them 45-14. I think this Edwardsville team is probably playing really well. They see the type of offense that Huntley runs already down there in their conference. I don't think this is a good matchup for Huntley. I'm not saying I still think Huntley is going to win this game, but I wouldn't be shocked to see Edwardsville come up here and be able to win this.
It looks like, I can't remember Edwardsville's quarterback's name right now. He's pretty much their guy. He runs the ball a lot. And they look to be a really run-oriented offense for what that's worth. But, I think Huntley's going to give just about anybody it sees at this point a lot of trouble with what Eric Mooney can do in that offense. But, you're right. I mean, this is a quality team, and they've seen some tough teams this year. So it is a tough first round matchup.
Yeah, and Huntley also has their own winning streak going right now. Was it seven straight now?
Seven, yes. Lost in week two to Prairie Ridge, 51-43. Yes.
Yeah, it looks like I'm just looking at Max Preps here. It doesn't look like Edwardsville has updated their stats in a couple of weeks, but their quarterback, I don't want to butcher his name.
Rahman.
I'm not sure. But through seven games that they have listed on here, he has 86 carries for 813 yards and 11 touchdowns. So he can apparently scoop.
Yeah. Apparently we're going to see a lot of him and Eric Mooney running around with the ball on Friday night.
That doesn't sound like a bad idea for a Friday night for me.
I'm good. That's my game.
I think so, I'm heading over there to watch
all
it
right
with you.
Sounds good. In 7A, we have number 21, Jacobs, traveling to Lincoln Way West in New Lenox. Jacobs was a quarterfinal team last season. Lincoln Way West, by the way, was in the 5A state championship, lost that game 2 years ago. Sean, you're from that district. What happened? Was it because of the closing of North? What happened with West moving up two classes?
Yeah, I grew up in Mokena. I went to Lincoln Way East. When North closed the last year was the first year that North was no longer in existence. They sort of readjusted the entire district. So they moved, spread out the kids amongst the three remaining schools. And that's why each of those schools is a little bit bigger than it was before.
Yeah, I think you're seeing the same thing at Lincoln Way West as you're seeing, and actually at Central as well, that you saw at East. East was a really good team last year, but it was really hard because you had all these kids come in the district the way things were redone, and all of a sudden kids that were starting at Lincoln Way North lost their starting job to a kid at the new school, or a kid that was starting at East or West lost a job to a kid coming in from North. And there was a lot of kind of these weird little internal conflicts. I think you've seen that sorted out this year. Obviously, when you're bringing in the type of talent that you were that North had, that's helping these teams out. And I was doing a little bit of research on West. A lot of the kids, several of the starters on this year's team that are seniors were actually sophomores on that state championship team that made it down there. Or I guess not down there. Was that game played in DeKalb? I can't remember.
That would have been DeKalb.
Yes. Yeah. So now I shouldn't say down there. Made it over to DeKalb that year. So I think this is a really tough matchup for Jacobs.
Yeah, I think this game is kind of a toss-up, the Jacobs and Lincoln Way West. I mean, I don't really, you know, I don't know who to pick here. I think these are both pretty good programs.
I think it is too, and I like the fact that Jacobs has so many players coming back from last year that had that experience, that, you know, the one that won the two games and made it to the quarters last year. I know how badly that they want to replicate that or do more this year.
The hang up for me is I look at Jacobs' schedule and I say, what is their marquee win? What can I hang my hat on to where I say I feel confident that they're going to go down and beat Lincoln Way West?
You know what? I think their best game was
the loss to Prairie
Ridge. The 30-16 loss to Prairie Ridge. Yeah. And they weren't able to get a lot going offensively that night, but I was really impressed with the way their defense played without their best defensive player, Eric Schutt, who was they were letting his shoulder rest a little bit. It had been bothering him. Coach Mitz said it was precautionary, that he could have played, but they just wanted to get him healthy for the playoffs.
Yeah, and I say that about their schedule, but I can kind of say the same thing about Lincoln Way West. I mean, they have 7 wins, but their 2 losses were to Lincoln Way Central and Homewood Flossmoor, and their next best win was, I mean, they don't really have one. I mean, Andrew had 6 wins this year, but it's not a particularly strong program. Outside of that, it's kind of been eh.
I have to say, if you're rating conferences in the state for bigger schools that we know better, Fox Valley and the Southwest Suburban would be right in that top three or four, wouldn't
get
it?
Get a little conference bragging rights going here?
Yeah. I mean, those are two pretty good. I mean,
especially at the top, you know, the top couple of teams in each conference, too.
Yeah, I mean, East Suburban Catholic is still really good. Yeah. Chicago Catholic League, Blue's the best one, right? The big one with Loyola and Mount Carmel.
Yeah, Blue.
But Southwest Suburban and Fox Valley don't have to take a back seat to very many of them out there.
No, absolutely not.
Not this year. Buffalo Wild Wings in Algonquin and Crystal Lake are proud sponsors of today's podcast. And here's some information. You can earn loyalty points at B-Dubs. Just sign up for the Blazin' Rewards program and start earning points on every purchase you make. And right now you can earn extra points by eating items like the Cali Chicken Sandwich, Fiesta Pork Tacos, and more. Order online for easy pickup. Buffalo Wild Wings in Algonquin on Randall Road or in Crystal Lake on Route 14 across from Sam's Club. In 6A, we have a nice little District 155 quadrant as number 16 Crystal Lake Central will play at Prairie Ridge, number 1 Prairie Ridge, and then that winner meets the winner between number 9 Cary Grove at number 8 St. Ignatius. Sean, you saw one of the best games of the year on Friday. Cary Grove 36, Crystal Lake Central 35. And Central was leading a game. This bracket could look a lot different if Central had hung on and won that game. Cary scores on the last play and it goes for 2. Tell us a little bit more about that outstanding game.
Yeah, that was a wild game and probably the best regular season game I've seen in quite some time, maybe in the last 2 years even. Crystal Lake Central jumped out to a 13-0 lead in the first quarter, and they were rolling. Their offense looked good almost all night, and Cary wasn't really having a whole lot of success stopping them. But the Trojans battled back, and they got a big score right before half to cut into the lead, and then they got the ball back. They had first possession in the third quarter, and they went down and scored again. That was a big, a turning point that got overlooked a little bit because of how crazy the finish was. Jake Staples completed a pass to Anthony Beck for a touchdown with about three minutes and change left to give Central the lead. And, you know, the Cary Grove offense drove down, and I think they started the possession. It was 3:14 on the clock. They drove down and scored as time ran out. Max Skoll had a beautiful, you know, leaping over the offensive line, reaches his hands out and gets the ball over the line for a touchdown there. And, you know, I was kind of thinking it as this was happening, and Coach Brad Seberg, you know, confirmed it afterwards. They weren't even thinking about kicking the point. You know, Cary Grove has that mentality. They're going to go for it right now and win the game. And especially given that they were, you know, struggling a little bit, slowing down Crystal Lake Central, they said, we're going to go for it right now. And Quinn Priester, you know, threw a pass to Ben Farrell, wide open Ben Farrell, to win the game by a point.
You know, it's funny. Going back to 2011, Brad Seberg's first season as coach, the last game of the regular season, they beat Prairie Ridge. Prairie Ridge won the state title that year, but they beat Prairie Ridge 22-21. They scored late, and they went for two, and Quinn Baker had the pass to, and I can't remember who, maybe it was Ryan Mahoney in the end zone to go for two on that play. It's just funny that, you know, he goes for two here again. So I wasn't surprised. That brought a flashback to me when I read that they went for two. I'm like, yeah, that's – but I love that call at the end of the game like that, because you're saying one play, you're not taking any chances with overtime. You're like, we're going to win it right here. I love that kind of aggressiveness. Plus, something somebody mentioned once, at that point, the other defense is a little bit deflated because they just let you go in and score. Why not go ahead and try and hammer it in and take care of it?
And you know what's another play that kind of got overlooked by the way that finished is there was a fourth and short. I forget exactly what it was, but they had the ball maybe at the five, Cary Grove did. And the central defense stopped them on the one. This was just before the touchdown play. And the central side kind of went crazy, like they won the game. Like, okay, that was fourth down, but they had picked up a first down like at the 1 yard line. Like, there was just enough for a first down to keep their possession alive. And I think, you know, certainly the crowd, I don't know if the Crystal Lake Central players, they probably knew what was happening there, but the crowd went crazy. Like, they won the game and it wasn't over yet. And, Cary Grove spiked the ball and had one time for one more play.
It was pretty entertaining. I was actually over at Prairie Ridge, and the Wolves had just finished up running clock against Dundee Crown. And I'm on the field trying to get quotes and talk to people after the game. And I was getting just endless questions. Hey, what's happening over at Crystal Lake Central? Hey, what's the update? And people were pulling out phones. So, Sean, I'm sure you picked up a few Twitter followers on Friday night.
Oh, yeah. I had a great video for the Max Skoll touchdown. I was in the perfect spot. And it just happened to work out that, you know, you could see him reach the ball across the line, and that worked out well. But Joe, you know, you mentioned what could have been different if Central had won that game. Let's talk about that a little, you know.
Yeah, I looked it up, and it looks like had Central gone to 6-3, it would have been a 13 seed, and Cary Grove at 5-4 would have been a 14 seed. And I know if you're Cary Grove, you don't want to lose a game and you're not thinking of it in these terms. It might actually have been a better road for both of them to stay away from Prairie Ridge for a little while longer.
Yeah, I mean, it's looking like Cary and Prairie Ridge could be setting up to face each other in the second round. And yeah, you know, if Central wins that game, all three of those teams are spread out across the bracket. And you know, you talk about Cary Grove, but you could also mention Central in that too. Like, you know, they have a dangerous offense against just about anybody except Prairie Ridge. They might have a decent shot of pulling an upset, and I don't know if they can do that against Prairie Ridge.
I agree. I think if they'd got a better seed as a 6-3, they might have been able to get a win.
I'm going to go ahead and put out a public plea right here. Now, if we get the Prairie Ridge at Cary Grove second round matchup, Cary Grove, please schedule that game for 6 p.m. on Saturday. Joe Stevenson might have to go down for state cross country, and I don't want to see him curl up into a ball if he has to miss that football game.
Well, you know, I can tell you right now, it'll be 1 o'clock Saturday.
Yeah, that's going to be
They get into that 1 o'clock Saturday mode because that's when the 6A state championship game is played. I get it. It started way back, I think, in 2009 when Bruce Kay had that real good team, and they just said, we just want to get used to playing at 1 o'clock on Saturday because that's when the last game of the season would be. So, and Prairie Ridge kind of picked up on that as well. So, in fact, Prairie Ridge is doing it this week already with Crystal Lake Central. So I think I'm out of luck. Unless you want to get – maybe you can get a helicopter to bring me back from Peoria real quick.
Oh, bring in the Shaw Media helicopter.
Yeah, there you go. That's all right. You guys can.
Yeah, I think I got. I think I got some time that day.
Who do you see in the northern half here to get to DeKalb? Who do you think Prairie Ridge's biggest roadblock is? You're looking maybe at like a Hoffman Estates. I don't know a lot about Willowbrook, the four seed that's a potential quarterfinal. Is it Cary Grove in the second round? Montini?
I don't really see.
Or DeKalb. DeKalb has been pretty good.
I think Cary Grove probably gives them the best game just because of how well they know each other. I don't really see anyone here that can really challenge them, though.
Yeah, I think, you know, with the similar styles against Cary Grove, and they're going to be running the ball, so the clock's going to be running, so it's going to be a relatively low-scoring game. I think that might be their toughest game, at least for a couple of weeks here. DeKalb maybe. I don't know a whole lot about them other than their record and scores we've seen, but I don't know. What do you think, Joe?
Yeah, they got beaten badly by Sterling in the last game of the regular season, right, DeKalb?
Yeah.
And then I'm looking at Hoffman Estates down on the lower part of the northern bracket at 7-2 coming out of the Mid-Suburban League. They had a loss to Barrington, and I don't know who their other loss was to.
I can pull it up.
They're pretty good. Chicago De La Salle and Hoffman Estates in the first round. That's an interesting game because De La Salle beat somebody pretty good. Who did
Hoffman Estates lost to Barrington badly and Palatine badly.
Yeah. So, a couple of 8A teams. But yeah. Still, yeah. So, but yeah, I think Prairie Ridge will get us to DeKalb.
I think De La Salle is an interesting team, a team that picked up a win over Mount Carmel.
Right, that's the team I was trying to think of, yeah. Yeah. Well, let's move on to 5A, and Woodstock North is a 13 seed at 5-4, and Marion, right where it was last year, I believe, with a 14 seed at 5-4, and I think we like the way things look for Marion better than what they look for North, just because North has hit a horrendous string of misfortune here going into the playoffs. They don't know who's going to play quarterback. I talked to Coach Jeff Schroeder over the weekend, and I think they were thinking about moving Carter Colson back to receiver, and I forgot who he said. Oh, maybe they might move running back Nico Mazzanti now that he'll have a week to practice, move him to quarterback and put Carter Colson back at receiver. But they lost Ryan Zenin last week, the sophomore that was already replacing Colin Mergel, the senior, both had broken legs.
Zinnan was the third string guy. Their backup quarterback has a separated shoulder.
Yeah. Yeah. So they're just, it's just horrible luck for the Thunder.
Yeah. Someone needs to give Coach a hug. That's been a rough couple weeks for him.
He said, and it was funny because he said, both, and you saw the Mergel injury.
Yeah.
And he said the Zinnan injury was both kind of the same type of thing. He says it wasn't really a horse collar tackle, but it was kind of like a guy pulling him from behind and his foot stuck in the grass and then kind of twisted around. And he said it was kind of almost the same thing that happened to Zinnan that happened to Mergel.
That's awful.
That's enough information on that one.
Anytime they're getting the ambulance out, that's no good. You don't like that.
So what do you think of Marion Central now that Marion Central's in and the Hurricanes at 5-4, 14 get Antioch 9-0, and I saw Marion on Friday. The offense looks better. AJ Golombeski looks more and more comfortable throwing the ball back there. They're doing some funny stuff back there. They sometimes have two guys and the center can snap the ball to either one. Gavin Scott or AJ Golombeski. Sometimes they snap it to Gavin and he throws it. Usually they snap it to him and he just takes off running and he's just a load. The St. Patrick coach was like, we had guys in the right place. He's just like way bigger than our linebackers. We couldn't bring him down. He's tough. Gavin is really makes them go.
That is awesome the way that they're doing that with, you know, both those guys back there. I think that's so much fun. You look at the matchup with Antioch. Antioch is a team that Woodstock North played in that week two game, isn't it? Where they last couple of minute comeback there, 15-14 game.
Antioch scored two in the last 6.5 minutes and won 15-14. Yes.
So Antioch is coming in at 9-0, but, you know, I think it's maybe a winnable game. Certainly if North played them tight, you know, you would – I know that was a long time ago, obviously, but if
– I think North should have won that game, shouldn't they?
They probably should have won that game.
They were up the whole game, yes.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it's a winnable game, and I definitely think if they win this game, they can, you know, potentially make a run here.
I think Marion wins by 2 scores.
You do?
Yeah. I've not been a big believer in this the Northern Lake County Conference for a while. I still don't believe in it. I think that Marion's going to go in and handle them pretty easily, actually.
I do, too. I really like the way – sometimes they snap it to Patsy Riccardi, too. So it's – you're right, Sean. A lot of creativity. Ron Riccardi, their offensive coordinator, is just like, all right, well, let's do this. They're doing some funky stuff, and it keeps the defense constantly guessing as to, okay, who's going to be quarterback this play or what they're going to run, so –
Joe, as soon as we get done with this podcast, I'm going to go look up Marion Central video from the last couple of weeks and check that out.
In 4A, Johnsburg, cruising along at 9-0, gets the number one seed in the northern half, while Richmond Burton is a number 10. I think RB, despite its struggles sometimes this season, can win this game against Chicago Urban Prep Bronzeville. They will play at Gately Stadium on Saturday.
Yeah, I definitely think this is a game that Richmond Burton can win. Good draw for them. You know, a lot of these public league schools, you know, like last year, only one of them got out of the first round. That was Phillips out of the 16. I definitely think Richmond Burton can win this game. And it's funny that interesting, I guess, is maybe the right word, that they're sitting here, you know. Richmond struggled a little bit, you know, in the regular season, and now they're here and they have a winnable game, and we could be looking at a team that gets to the second round or further in Richmond Burton.
Yeah, I think Richmond Burton's in good shape to move it along. And who's covering Johnsburg? Is it Alex?
I think so.
I can't remember.
I think Alex is I think it's going to be an example of Alex wishing that they started the running clock in the first quarter, because it's just not going to be a pretty one.
Yeah, that's Urban Prep Inglewood 5-4 coming to Johnsburg also on a Saturday for a Saturday game. But looking at the 4A bracket, who do you guys see as Johnsburg's biggest hurdles to get to DeKalb?
I would say probably Morris. Morris took a couple losses here at the end of the season. We talked about it on the state podcast quite a bit about if Morris being usually a 5A school, pretty big, if Johnsburg's going to be able to stop such a big offensive line, I think that's going to be the biggest challenge for them.
Yeah, I agree, Morris. Look out for Rochelle in that second round, too. I know they won – Johnsburg beat them earlier in the year. I think that was 40-22.
Yes.
But, you know, that was not an easy game, even though they ended up winning that by 18 points. Rochelle's got a big defensive line, and they got some big kids.
I know when I talked to Coach DeBoeuf over the weekend, he was really cautious about that game. He was excited about the possibility to – play Rochelle again, but they definitely respect the Hubs quite a bit there.
Yeah, and I think I talked to him after that week two game, and yeah, same sort of thing. They realize that's a tough Rochelle team.
On the bright side, they will get them at home this time.
Yeah, if that matchup.
Oh, they was at home last time.
It was at home last.
I thought it was at Rochelle, then I just glanced again. I'm like, oh no. So yeah, but either way, I'm sure they'd much rather be playing that game at home.
All right, so before the season started, guys, we made our list of something to look for. So let's do that again here for the playoffs. Sean, you go first. What's something to look for in the playoffs?
Yeah, I'm going to stick with Johnsburg here, and I'm going to point towards the Johnsburg defense. We know last year when they made their run, their defense was, you know, that was their rock. They were really good defensively. Obviously, you know, they were good in a lot of areas. But this, you know, this year we've spent so much time talking about their offense and how electric they are on offense. If they're going to make another run, they're going to need their defense to have some big plays. And you know, they really haven't, you know, we talked about that Rochelle game in week two, but that was maybe their biggest, toughest test. As far as the regular season goes, they really haven't been tested as far as like a one or two possession game in the final minutes. We'll see how that defense responds in a big situation.
Kyle?
I'm going to go with the Prairie Ridge pass defense because I found out something interesting last week, and teams are going to see this on film at the beginning of the playoffs here. Josh Raby for Dundee Crown completed his first 18 passes against Prairie Ridge last week. He was 12 of 12 for 150 yards in the first half. I think teams are going to see that on film, and that's how you're going to have to attack Prairie Ridge if you're going to stand a chance against them. I'm interested to see what happens if they come up against a high-quality offense that can move the ball through the air.
Well, for my something to watch, I just touched on it a couple minutes ago. I'm going to go with the Marion offense, which has struggled so much because of the injuries, and now with Gavin Scott back. And it looked pretty good against a 2-7 St. Patrick team. St. Patrick is still a pretty good 2-7 team, putting up 44 points the other night. But if the Hurricanes can keep that offense moving with Gavin Scott and then have A.J. Golombeski throwing the ball and to Patsy Riccardi and some of those guys and can put more points on the board because they've had so many games where they didn't even get to 20 points. If they can start getting it up there and scoring 30 points a game, they can be pretty dangerous because they have a pretty good defense as well. So, all right, well, let's pick the first round of playoff games. We'll start with 8A, where Edwardsville 6-3 at Huntley 8-1, a 26 seed out of 7.
Every game in 8A is tough and dangerous. I'm going to pick Huntley, though. I think they'll get it done.
Yeah, I'm going to take Huntley. I think it's going to come down to the fourth quarter, though.
I, too, will take Huntley. Class 7A, number 21, Jacob, 6-3. At number 12, Lincoln Way West, 7-2. This is a 6 p.m. game on Saturday.
I really do think this game is a toss-up. I'm going to pick Jacobs. I think they've, like we mentioned earlier, maybe played a little bit tougher schedule. We'll see how it plays out.
Yeah, I'm really split here. I'm going to go with Lincoln Way West because it's at home for them. I think it's a pretty evenly matched game.
I'm going to go with Jacobs, and I agree with you guys. I think this might be maybe the most even game that we have on the schedule this week. Class 6A, number 16, Crystal Lake Central, 5-4, at number 1, Prairie Ridge, 9-0. That's a 1 p.m. kickoff on Saturday.
Central's had a great year, especially after the 2-7 finish last year. You know, they're back in the playoffs and they're that close to being 6-3. I just don't think they can do it against Prairie Ridge.
Yeah, I know. I talked about it on several occasions that I thought this Crystal Lake Central team had the pieces to put it together. Like they had shown it in little spurts that I had seen them, and then boom, there it was against Cary Grove. Almost got it out, got a win out of that. Man, any other matchup, I'd give them a better chance, but this is a tough draw, so I'm going with Prairie Ridge.
You know, Jake Staples has just had a heck of a year.
He really has.
You look at some of our quarterbacks around here, he may get a little overshadowed because of Samson Evans and Adam Jaco, the way he's throwing it up there at Johnsburg, and Eric Mooney and guys. Jake's been tremendous, but I have to go with the Wolves as well.
We mentioned that about the pass defense here. We've seen, you know, Central is a team that will throw the ball. Staples will spread them out, and they've already seen them once, so maybe they make the adjustments and make this a closer game than we expect.
Yeah. Number 9, Cary Grove, 6-3. Seems weird to see Cary Grove going on the road for a first-round playoff game. At number 8, St. Ignatius, 7-2. Both happen to be option teams.
Yes.
I'm going to pick Cary Grove. I think they'll get it done and set up the rematch with Prairie Ridge.
Yeah, I think Cary Grove is the better team now that they're healthy.
Yes, I too will go with the Trojans. Class 5A would go number 13, Woodstock North, 5-4. At number 4, Lamont, 8-1. That's a 7 p.m. game on Friday.
Lamont's only loss is to Batavia, 21-0. I think Lamont's going to win this game. There's just too many questions with North and their health issues.
I would have hated this matchup for North even if they were healthy. I really, really like this Lamont team. I think that Lamont's going to win this one running away.
Yes, I will go with Lamont as well. Number 14, Marion Central, 5-4. At number 3, Antioch, 9-0, 7 o'clock on Friday.
Marion Central is on a 3-game winning streak. I think they'll get to 4 and they'll get into the second round.
Yep, I'm on the Hurricanes bandwagon.
Yep, I will take the Canes as well. And then we go to 4A. And I think we all knew who we're going to pick here. Number 16, Urban Prep, Englewood, 5-4. At number 1, Johnsburg, 9-0.
this is going to get ugly. It's like Johnsburg.
Yeah, I'm going to tell Alex he can just start writing his story now.
Yes, Skyhawks as well. And then number 10, Richmond Burton, 6-3. At number 7, Chicago Urban Prep Bronzeville, 7-2. That's a 6 o'clock.
7 o'clock
Saturday.
7 o'clock Saturday. Yeah. I'll be up at that one. I think, you know, like we said earlier, favorable matchup. I think Mike Kaufman has a big game and Richmond Burton wins.
We've seen a few of the Chicago Public League's teams start to rise up and make a name. Outside of Phillips, Raby's gotten better. Solario's gotten better. You're starting to see those teams taken serious. I don't think this is one of those cases. I think Richmond Burton's going to win this one pretty handily.
I agree. Bronzeville last year in the playoffs, first round. Vernon Hills was really good, by the way, a 5A state runner-up, but lost by 50. Yeah. So I will go with the Rockets there as well. So that'll do it for this week. Thanks for checking in, and we will be back next week to talk about the first round. Thanks again to Buffalo Wild Wings and Algonquin and Crystal Lake, our sponsors.